Okay, so, well, that just tells me all the more that this is probably a good little review here. All right, you should have your Bibles once again open to Proverbs chapter 1. And we are once again just taking note of the table of contents now that we are looking at phase 2 and moving now into the actual, not talking about it anymore, but actually getting down to brass tacks when it comes to being educated as sons and daughters now that we've gotten through Romans 12:2, and we're ready for 12:3 to begin. But before we do, going back to just take a look once again at some of the terminology to refresh ourselves on anticipating some of the aims and the goals and the objectives of what we're going to be spending the next long period of our time together in, which will be the completion of all of level one of our sonship life and our sonship edification, and that's going to comprise basically getting the instruction of four things: to receive the instruction of wisdom, of justice, and judgment, and equity. And I love even the way that that's presented, because it slows you down on the last two: and judgment, and equity. You have the word "and" given in there to draw it out just a little bit, because there's a shift that takes place with learning and getting the instruction of godly judgment. That is where the very first time the adversary is kind of allowed, you know, the gate goes up and he's allowed to go after you. I'm not saying he personally does or anything like that, but there's a pivotal point in judgment that you're going to take, you're going to begin, and this is where I'm going to be just thrilled to be able to teach this stuff, because you're going to be going to battle. And so basically what we're going through in the first couple of aspects of gaining these four issues here is going to be boot camp. And then we're going to be engaging. We're going to actually provoke that character to take us on. And that's part of the genius of why God leaves us on this earth, leaves us with a mind that needs to be renewed, leaves us with sin in our members, leaves us in all this condition, so that all of those things that adversary can use at his disposal can be turned right around 180 degrees by the effectual working of this curriculum in our inner man. And those things, we become more than conquerors in all those things. And it's going to be a magnificent moment in our lives. So really looking forward to getting there. But for now, we understand that instruction, receiving instruction of anything at this point, implies that we're going to get some information about something we don't know how to do. And secondly, that prior to this, we were, and that goes hand in hand with that, we were ignorant of that. It's not something we naturally have, this godly wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And as that process of your mind now starts to be renewed, old information that now is you're going to realize has absolutely no value to it whatsoever, and information that gets acquired that you both have picked up and you continue to pick up from this world, the wisdom of this world, from the course of this world, is going to have to be recognized for the worthless thing that it is. And it is worthless to your sonship education to advance it. And that it's all going to have to be replaced with a whole thought process and the actual thinkings of God, my Heavenly Father. So I respond. So I react. So I like, dislike, love, hate. I am in every way like he is, confronting any situation that may come my way. And so that has to get all replaced, and in view of all that being the critical necessary thing it is, even it's the natural thing. It's what a natural father would do with his son. I can remember so many times when Bob Robinson over there would hire some new hotshot out of the blue, and he'd talk to Bob about how he could die cut this and foil stamp that. And then Bob would turn him loose out there, and he'd just watch him. And the guy would, he'd come up to the press, and he'd do this. Bob would walk out there and say, "What are you looking for? The on-off switch is right here." He didn't even know how to turn the thing on. And that's kind of like what I would be if I went back into the printing business. Then the print presses have probably advanced so much from the time I was printing newspapers. I mean, I was, by comparison, I was probably just a few steps past melting lead. So, but it's the natural thing for a father to do with his son, because his son's never been involved in this business before. All his son has done growing up as his father's child, he may have walked in the door, he may have seen the building, but he's got no idea how business runs or how it operates or what his father's aims and goals and objectives are. To the son, to the child, all he knows is he's supposed to get candy. He's supposed to get clothes every once in a while, a new pair of kids or whatever. That's all. By the way, I just described Christianity today in the United States. That's what they want from God. Candy. They want their bumps made better. They want their boo-boos healed. They want new kids, and they want a lollipop, and they want a sucker, and they want to feel good. That is so much childish behavior, it makes you want to vomit. It's so unbelievably inane. But that's the natural thing for a father to do with his son, is to get him to replace the worthless thinking with proper thinking. And in view of that, when you see the table of contents here in Proverbs, of the next level of sonship education here is to receive the instruction, or the next phase of this level, the instruction of some things that it's to be expected that things are going to get, they're going to get more involved. They're going to get, like I said when I first taught this, is in that wonderful Three Stooges episode when they were electricians. I don't know if you remember that one or not, but they... Mo pulls, or Larry or Curly, they pull the cover off the big electrical box. Mo looks at it and goes, "This is going to get more than Tricket, boys." Well, it's going to get more than Tricket now. It's going to get more intricate. It's going to get more complex. Don't be afraid of that word, complex. Now, it's not going to right away, but before we get out of Romans, it will. Each increment up from wisdom to justice, from justice to judgment, from judgment to equity, is going to get more and more intricate and more complex. And you're going to be prepared for those things, to handle more complex things, to be able to put them into practice in more complex ways. I'm being very guarded not to say complicated. It's not complicated, but it is more complex. And that's going to happen because you're getting beyond just acquiring basic concepts in your mind and orientation of your mind, but you're actually now moving past. Really what happens all right in here is your mind gets awakened. And that's where you stand now, having passed that checkpoint. Your mind now is fully awakened to what this is all going to be, and it's all laying out ahead of you yet. But by the time you get to phase two of level one, where we are now, the mind is now awakened to your status, to your establishment, and your human spirit as a son has now been put in the position where God can do a lot of things now. Maybe we haven't talked about that as much as we should, but one of the things He provides for in sonship establishment once it's all over is that you now have a commitment, all that attitude and everything. Well, along with all of that is He's actually maneuvered, and I don't mean this in a sly or cunning or crafty way that's bad, but He has, as a father, He's put your thinking, put your human spirit in a position where a whole bunch of additional features can start to come along and be added to that awakened mind and added to that awakened spirit. And you're going to begin going somewhere. We're going to be moving with all of this. And by the time you hit verse 3 here in Proverbs 1, and you get confronted with those four terms, wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, even though we've encountered in this very passage wisdom before, just as we've encountered instruction once before, but it is in a slightly different manner in which we did it. The other three, you've never encountered up to that point. Justice, judgment, equity. And so you can see there's a bunch of additional features that we're going to get here that we've never encountered before. And just by being familiar with how your father presents things to you, you know that you're now at this point. It always drives me crazy sometimes, you know, and we're getting up now around the hoopla around the basketballs, college basketballs all coming in, and they all show the crazy fans, you know. And somebody's always got that big puffy hand, and they're up there in the stands. You see this at football time, which I'm actually enjoying more and more. Maybe age has something to do with football, but I especially like watching any football game that's one, outdoors, two, is snowing. That's the best. And if it's the muddier, the better. But they always show up in the stands, especially like at the Pittsburgh Steelers games, some of the most crazy dressed and fans. There's somebody with a big puffy hat says, "We're number one." You didn't do anything. What do you mean, "we"? I mean, all you did was, you know, burp and yell and rip your shirt off when it's one below or something like that out. The real guys that are number one are the guys on the field. Well, guess what, folks? You're no longer in the stands. You're now on the field. So you're recognizing at this point that you're now getting the feel of the field. And there's something to that, by the way. I remember as a catcher, I used to always, one of the things I would do, people probably thought I was nuts. This is just a little tip. No coach ever taught me anything about baseball. I had the worst coaches in the world. My little league coach was drunk half the time. He smelled like a saloon when he would come up there. But I learned everything I knew about baseball from my dad, who was a brilliant mind when it came to baseball. And one of the things he taught me as a catcher, take a ball while sometime during practice and just drop it and let it roll down the lines a little bit. What am I looking for? I want to see if there's a slope. And by the way, the ball diamonds I played on weren't these cushy, for crying out loud, the things that high school kids play on today, unbelievable. But when you've got cow pies down third base, you want to see if that ball's going to, if the lay of the land, it's going to roll foul or roll fair by its natural. And if we did ever play on a field that had grass, I'm going to be a catcher, so I'm going to be having to field a lot of bunts. I need to know how tall the grass is there. Roll a ball out there. See how well it runs through the grass. Give you a heads up as to what, that when I say get your feet on the field and feel what the field is like, that's what we get to do. We're now in the game. We now get to get on the field and get this thing going. And so by the time you come to this point, you're now going to go from what you've only thought about or what was general to something more particular. Or it's like the old expression we all use, where the rubber now hits the road. And when it comes to first things first that you're supposed to perceive, you're supposed to receive the instruction, and you need to realize the information you're going to get is information you're naturally ignorant of. You're going to be getting information that's going to provide you to be able to do some things. And without that information, you know that you won't properly do the things that you're supposed to do, or you won't be able to put all the parts together, so to speak. And that's really a good analogy for that. Depending upon the nature of the information, you may get information that is helpful. If you're talking about instruction, you may get helpful information, but it could be that you get information that is absolutely essential. And you realize that you need to follow the instructions. If you're going to get things put together properly, or like I used to do when I'd build models with parts left over. Oops, well. If you have some idea of what a thing looks like before you go to build it, you might find the instructions are just helpful because you've seen it. But that's not our case, because I don't think anybody here has actually seen or been around a man of understanding sitting out there behind that thing. It's there, it's just not on that chart. So if you haven't seen it yet, those instructions aren't just helpful. Those instructions are critical. They are vitally essential, which is hyperbole. I'm building a bunch of, probably that was terrible English, but they're absolutely essential. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you and what you're going to receive. It may seem, and you've got to be thinking to you should be thinking to yourself, why is he going into this? Well, I'm going into this, and I'm going to run you over. I'm going to put this up here so I can look at it, because I just can't do this all the time. What was I saying? You're going to be doing something here that at least what you should be thinking about is, if I'm going into this much time to bring this back into our thinking, the things that we're going to encounter right out of the box are going to be things that we probably wouldn't even think would be a part of wisdom, but they are. And that just points up the fact of what I'm saying here. You're going to be doing something that you normally would not be able to do. And when it comes to that issue of it being essential, you can bet if you're a betting man that the vast majority of the cases, no one today, in modern day, 21st century United States Christianity, has ever seen a properly educated, properly edified adult, adopted son of God. Couple that with the fact that the instruction and the instruction manual you've got in your hand here and that you're going to be getting from your Heavenly Father is going to provide for you to begin emulating Him. Always remember that. When you may buck up against something, you say, I can't imagine that would be all that critical. Just remember who you're emulating. That's the way He thinks. There's nothing you're going to be taught from here on out that isn't the thinking of your Father. That's what He thinks. And that's what He thinks first, second, third, fourth, and on down the line. So He's providing for you, putting your sonship life into practice at this point, really for the first time, for being conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, folks, makes this information, the instructions that we're going to get here, not merely helpful, as most Christians that look at the Bible, that's a helpful book. You know, Bill O'Reilly, it's a book of myths and a book of fables. And that's what it's produced. He's a myth and a fable. And I mean, he has a very, 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 very low opinion of the Bible, which he makes clear. It's not my conjecture. He makes it clear. So as most Christians and even non-Christians view the Bible as just being maybe a helpful book, you see it as essential information. It's instruction that has to be precise and precisely followed in the order it comes, and not one part of it taken lightly. That may be helpful, or set aside just because, well, you don't see how it works, or you can't imagine it to be that way. Or maybe just a passion to shortcut things. Well, all I want to do is point out how important all of this is to have as in our minds as we approach Romans 12:3, and that we've been dealing with this initial phase here of phase 2 of level 1 of our instruction to receive instruction and coming to understand and appreciating what receiving that instruction is. We can take that now maybe one step further and state it so that you can see crystal clear what it means to you. In fact, we're going to take it two little steps further before we get done here tonight. Because one of the things I really appreciate about the way the Father wrote the curriculum is that it's not got any, as I've said so often, elective courses to it. There's no fat in it. There's no, well, you're going to have a diploma from you know, some goofy, from Goofiness University. And because you're from Goofiness University, that alone just speaks volumes of who you are. This is the kind of snooty, snobbery stupidity that goes on at many Ivy League schools. I go to Smith. I'm not even sure you could spell it. And there's this snottiness that occurs in many college campuses just because they go to Duke or they go to Harvard, or they go to Princeton or some place like that that cranks out some of the stupidest people who've ever lived. But the fact of the matter is, what I'm after is that you need to realize that against the backdrop of that kind of frivolous teaching of things that will never ever have a detailed of the life type, rubber meets the road, every day you live type of a application to it. Your father has none of that built in that curriculum. Every detail of it is essential. Every detail of it is usable. And it's not to be approached lightly, but it's to be approached by recognizing the huge impact that the instruction is going to be, and with just that phrase, receiving the instruction of, with those four looming issues out there in the rest of the verse of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, really just that one phrase, you see receiving the instruction, you see the impact that it's to now make on your human spirit. Because when you're told now by your father you're going to receive instruction in some things, some of the very things that make up the way he thinks himself, the things that make up his own heart, and how his heart works, how it functions. You're kind of like that kid who couldn't, like me, I can't even hardly draw a stick man and make it perceptible. My daughter is a fantastic artist. I can't even draw a little stick guy. And I'm kind of like that kid who couldn't draw at all or sculpt anything. Heavens, the only thing I could make, I got so frustrated with the stew. We had, you try to make a pot and you get the clay, and I'd whap the clay down on it and it would be going around like this, and I'm supposed to start centering the thing. By the time I centered it, it was disintegrated. So I just took a lump of clay, smashed it down, stuck my fist in it, and said, "Here, Mom, here's an ashtray." Mom didn't even smoke, Well, instead of doing that with that kind of skill to it, or no skill to it, it's kind of like taking a person with that kind of ineptitude who can only make anything, well, I can't make anything really other than an ashtray or a, I think I did make a candle holder once. But then he gets for Christmas, say, or he gets for his birthday, he gets a model. Maybe it's one of those, what was it, Tyco used to make the models. There's another kind, I can't remember the name of it. There's an even better one. But you get this model of, say, a 56 Ford, which is one of my favorite models of the F-100. It had those rounded, glass in it and everything. But he's never put a model together one day in his life, never ever done this one time. And he opens the box, he sees a couple hundred tiny plastic parts, and he grabs the instructions, and hopefully he didn't throw them away. But he grabs the instructions, and he actually transforms that thing from parts into something. And at the same time he's doing that, it transforms that sorry, inept little kid into, if he followed everything properly, he looks like he's been a master craftsman. When he finally puts that last piece on the model and he looks at his finished product, and that thing's an exact replica of the real thing. That's what we're doing. That's what your father's doing in us. Well, you know that you look at the kid who's done that, he's been given instructions. Those instructions gave him information he wasn't naturally aware of, he didn't know how to do, but it did more than that. That's what I'm after. That's what I'm struggling to get to. That kid who has never put that model together a day in his life opens up the box, realizes he's got a big problem. What's his big problem? I've never done this before. The answer to the question, what is the instruction of godly wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity going to do for me? It's going to allow for you to do something you've never done before. And that's the huge impact instruction is designed to make. Especially for you now as a son, as a daughter of God, your Heavenly Father. I'm not just going to begin sponging up information, but each and every component of each and everything that I'm going to be taught in every one of these four categories is designed to get me doing something that I've never ever done one day in my life. I've never done it before. I've never lived as a husband to my wife, as a father to my children, as an employee to my employer, as a citizen of the United States, as you name it. I've never lived that way as a son. I've never lived that way like my father would live that way. I've never done this before. That's why you see this as the essential thing it is. Because you're now going to have some things put together so that you're able to do some things you've never done one day in your life up to this point. And I'm telling you this, Triangle Bible Church, we've never functioned fully. We've functioned we've been doing great, but we've never functioned as a local assembly as it was designed to be the training grounds and the vocational training mechanism that divine institution was ever designed for it to be yet, not one time. But we're about to. And a lot of that is going to come right out of the very first gate of wisdom, of being able to think of one another no longer looking at you in terms of just another person, not even just another Christian, but to look at you as part of my body. I don't know if you probably don't, but that is one of the most powerfully effective ways in generating godly esteem and virtue and value and love that anything could be. Because I don't think there's a one of you here right now who would want to just take your hand and put it out the door and slam the door on it until it fell off. You, when it comes to things you value, nothing gets more valuable than body parts. I could take clothes and toys and knickknacks and doodads and furniture and cars and homes and things like that. Think about those people when they go through a natural disaster. We can replace all of that, yeah, but not a body. And the one thing that creature up there doesn't have right now is anyone who is running it who has anything close to body-type thinking. And that's what you've got to have, because that's what that is. It's the embodiment of this earth. Well, those are some of the beautiful things that God accomplishes in ways that is going to make it so that we appreciate what we're being taught, what we're being instructed in, allows us to do things we've never done before. There's thoughts you haven't even thought yet that you're going to think. That's why you need instruction. That's why it's essential. And the first thing that you're going to do now in phase two of level one is get some information to receive some instruction for doing some things you've never done. At least you've never ever done them like your father has done them or does them. That's the gist of what it means to receive the instruction of whatever you get. You're going to have some information given to you that's going to teach you how to do some things that without that instruction, you're not simply going to be able to do. At least not to the emulation and the delight and the pleasure of your father. So now, just one more thing very, very quickly here tonight that we can get under our belts, and then maybe on Sunday we'll start taking up All we'll need to do is kind of cover the issue once again of the wisdom that's being talked about here. But just remember that these things that we're going to begin getting the instruction of have been chosen and they've been arranged by the model maker. So when you go back and you look at your book of Romans and you start looking from Romans 3 on down, as it matches, as it agrees, as it matches up with the format of sonship edification right back here in Proverbs, that you're going to receive a body of information and wisdom, then justice and judgment, then equity. It shouldn't, every one of you in here should be able to realize that without wisdom, justice, and judgment, there is no equity. You'll never make an equitable decision unless you can make decisions wisely, justly, and judgmentally. You'll never be able to make a judgmental decision until you first of all can make one wisely and justly. And you've got to have wisdom if you're ever going to make a just decision. In other words, there's a progressive nature to those that build one on top of the other. They're in an order that to rearrange it or lop one off or leave one out would be the demise of the aims and goals and objectives of what it's all about to begin with. And so when we come to the issue of these four components, they're arranged by your father, the model maker. He knows all about the entire program. He knows the whole curriculum from beginning to end. And he functions in just this exact same way himself. That's how he thinks. That's his process. And by the way, he's proven the whole thing. He's proven himself that it works. He's been successful at it. He's been tried at it. He's had the enemy and the adversary attempt to stop him at it and thwart him at it. I know that's an English word, but it's like built into this is the power of the thwartlessness of the adversary to succeed with you. Now, I know it's getting late because I'm starting to make up words. But your father knows how this is perfectly put together and how to perfectly instruct you, his son, to do just what he does in his own business. So we've got the four components of instruction: wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. Before we go very quickly and we begin dealing with the details in Romans 12, I just want to once again look on the surface of them at what they do, because all four terms really are related. They have a close relation to them. They have vital differences and essential differences, but they all have something in common. And that's what I want to bring back to your mind tonight. This is very critical to have in our thinking before we begin. They all have something in common as far as being spoken about. In fact, let's go on to, let's get this one off. And let's just talk about wisdom here for a moment. And that is, there's something that really all four of these have in common. And you've heard me talk about it a lot. They have you coming along and being able to do something. I'm not even going to waste your time and hem-hawing around about it. But you know what these four things are for. Primarily, what are they for? That's right. These are decision-making skills. And this isn't the chart I wanted. We'll get to that one next time. Let's go back to this one. And let's get that off of there. Primarily, those four issues are godly decision-making skills. And by receiving the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, the Son is given the capacity of godly decision-making and acquiring skills, decision-making skills. And we've talked a lot about that. That's kind of the brass ring of what Christianity is after. It's a brass ring of what look, it's the brass ring of all of humanity. It's like I said, if you could bottle that so that you could drink an elixir of it, can you imagine? I'd rather have that. I'd rather be able to have that and offer that to the public than gold. I'd make more money off of it than I would gold or plutonium or whatever precious material there is. If you could take a pill or drink a substance that you would make every single decision from now until the day you died absolutely perfectly, that's what everybody's after. That's what people want. The reason they can't sleep at night. They've made terrible decisions. Their conscience keeps them awake. It drives them insane. And yet, God can't even give it away free. His own people won't even accept it. They'll deny that power, and they'll go after another form of godliness than he describes. And without laboring on in this very much more tonight, because I know we're done and we need to get out of here, that's not the only thing that those four issues are going to give you. But that's what each, and not it goes both ways. Each one individually is a decision-making skill, and then combinations of them become decision-making skills. Some things will only take wisdom to be able to make the right decision. Some things only justice. Some things only judgment. Some things only equity. Now, you've already seen that equity relies on all three above it, judgment on the two above it, justice on the one above it. But there's even more. Now, there's more decisions that you'll make. Let me retract that. There are some decisions that you're going to make that aren't described in any of these four terms. Can you think of one term that could be described as a way to make a decision that's not one of these four? No? Okay. How about a prudent decision? How about a decision based upon your ability to discern, discernment? So I'm not saying that these are the only decisions or only categories or only words that you could ever talk about as making decisions, but I want to tell you this, and you need to be clear on this. Those four right there comprise and constitute the bulk of every decision you'll ever make. The vast majority of every decision you'll ever make will fall into one of those four areas of wisdom, justice, judgment, or equity. The vast majority of them. There's a little wiggle room in there, because when you get farther advanced as a son, you're going to get skills where you're going to bring together combinations of those to bring in the issue of prudence. Being able to make a decision and be able to think so far in advance, forethought, that decision may look wrong right now, but it's the prudent thing to make, because later on it will come into play. Those are things that take greater skill than you've got right now. But these still are going to be there for the rest of your life, and they'll be the bulk of the decisions that you'll ever make. And before we go, not only are they decision-making skills, which is the holy grail of humanity, but they also had this other characteristic we talked about. What? Yeah, they're going to prove. That's good, because they will, exactly, in Romans 12:2. That's what's going to enable us to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But there's another aspect to those particular words as found in God's Word when they come up that surround a particular vocation. No, but you're close. We don't have time to look at it tonight, but this is why I'm absolutely sure this class was what we needed to do. These decision-making skills provide for they point toward, move toward, drive toward a very particular particular kind of occupation in the Bible. We're out of time to be able to go and verify all this, so I'm just going to tell you what. If you go to passages in God's Word, especially in His program with Israel, and you find the men who specifically God utilized to forecast to Israel what sonship was going to be, like David and Solomon, what was their occupation? Yeah, but they weren't, that's not their occupation. What was their occupation? They were kings. Wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity are the four areas that give a king or a prince or a governor any kind of a ruler to do his job. If he's going to function as a king, a prince, a governor, a ruler, his abilities in wise, just, judgmental, and equitable decisions are a must. They're essential. And folks, that's what your father's getting you ready for. You're going to be a judge. Did you know that? Judge Michael, Judge Joe, Judge Mark. I could go right on down the road with her. You're going to be a judge. Who are you going to judge? Angels. You're going to administrate. You're going to be in positions in that creature, principality, power, might, dominion, throne, authorities. So he's not only given you these great decision-making skills, but at the same exact time, he's training you to be a ruler in the heavenly places, to be a prince, to be a principality, to be a power, to be a might, to be a dominion. Remember when we went over that now? Yeah. And your very first one is beginning in Romans 12:3, wisdom. So you need to bring that back up into your thinking, that these aren't just, okay, these are my father's decision-making skills, but these are indispensable for me to function in a governmental rulership type authority job. And that's what I'm being trained for. Granted, a lot of it's going to feel like wax on, wax off. Where that breaks down, of course, in that movie is that the boy who was waxing on, waxing off didn't know why he was doing it. Your father's going to tell you why. But the activities that go along with all of these decision-making issues and the doctrine that we get to put them into practice, that's exactly what it is. It's practice. On the turf, in the battle, practice to be able to utilize those skills, hone those skills, because he's going to put you into a position in that creature when that's liberated from the bondage of corruption. The sons, the joint heirs with Christ, get to rule in it. The rest of the Christians get to live in it. But you and I are going to rule in it as a joint heir with Christ and receive a glory along with him that is far above all the rest of that. So this really is a great thing we're getting ready for. And it's not to be taken lightly, and we're not to look back over however long it took us to get through sonship establishment and say, whew, I'm glad that's all over. Let's just cruise. Folks, the work hasn't even begun yet. But the return on the investment is going to be unbelievable. So we'll stop it right there, and next time we'll talk a little bit more maybe about wisdom, that chart I started to show you. Remind ourselves of the kind of wisdom that we're after in this first of the four decision-making skills. And once we get that, we're going to take a brief look. We're not going to look in long time or anything like that, but there's something specifically I'm after in the exhortation that I want us to look at in Proverbs 3. And once we get that exhortation down and get the juices really where our Father would like them to be so that our mind is now totally ready to begin, then we'll just start going back to Romans 12, get all of the instruction in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And bam, 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 we'll be done with level 1. All right, we'll stop right there with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you.